Welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in to one of our Abundant Life Worship Center podcasts. You're going to be hearing an edited message from one of our sermon series called Be Transformed. Just pray that you're blessed as you listen to this. Enjoy. All right. Well, good evening. We're going to share a message this evening, continuing, actually wrapping up our Be Transformed series. And we've talked about a few different topics here, and it's been really good. I want to just begin with our key verse that we've read each time, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes." And also Galatians 6:15. It says, "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation." So as we've been speaking in this series and talking about being transformed, we've looked at these scriptures and we see from Galatians chapter 6 and 15 that true transformation is actually the sign of us being his. Not a religious symbol, not a religious act, but simply giving ourselves to Christ, allowing him to forgive our sins and becoming a new creation. We've also looked in this series at going from proud to humble. We talked a couple weeks ago about from being transformed from poor to rich. We made a couple of statements as we went through the scripture and understanding them. Here's one that we said. We said, "Renewing our minds and allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way brings true life transformation." Let me say it again. "Renewing our minds and allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way brings true life transformation." And also, we made this statement. If you are not giving the way God asks you to in his word, and the way he asks you to by his Holy Spirit, then God is not your master, money is. But today, we want to look at this specific transformation point, and remember again, God transforming us from something to something. The transformation point we want to look at today is this, and it is that we are to be transformed from weak to strong. We are to be transformed from weak to strong. When we talk about weakness and strength, we're not only talking about physical strength or physical weakness. Strength can come in mental, spiritual, emotional, as well as physical. But anytime you talk about strength, of course, if you've read your Bible or you've been in Sunday school, you think of the story of Samson. Because Samson, of course, was the strong man of the Bible. And we read about Samson in Judges chapter 15 and chapter 16. Obviously, today we're not going to read both chapters about Samson. But of course, Samson was someone who received supernatural strength, supernatural physical strength. And Samson used that strength for God and to defeat his enemies. But interestingly, when we read Samson's story, we see that even though he had this strength, he forgot where the strength came from. And he started to think that strength came from himself. Over time, as we listen to his story, we realize that he allowed himself to forget that God gave it and took it on his own. We read stories of him taking an entire city gate, and he took that city gate and he pulled it out of the ground, put it on his back, and went up a hill with it. We read another story where he killed 1,000 Philistines, 1,000 men from the army with simply the jawbone of a donkey. But yet the strength wasn't his, it came from God. And sometimes we think the strength has got to be from us, in us. But there are times in life when we need strength supernaturally, we need strength from God. Samson was no different. But Samson became proud and thought it was his own, and we know the story. He ended up losing that strength for a season until he called on God once again, and God restored strength. Isaiah 41 and verse 10 in the New Living Translation says this: "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." So don't be afraid or discouraged. I will strengthen you. God wants to be your strength. Ezekiel 34 and 16 says this: "I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak. But I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them," yes, "feed them justice." Once again, God wants to strengthen the weak. And Psalm 138 and verse 3 says this: "At the very moment I called out to you, you answered me. You strengthened me deep within my soul and breathed fresh courage into me." God wants to strengthen you in every area. When we talk about strength, I remember a story from many years ago, and I heard an evangelist tell this story, and I call it the power of God story. And many years ago, the evangelist was telling us about a time he began serving God and preaching, and in his community, there was a man that nobody wanted to go near. He was angry, and he hurt people. And some people just thought he's not safe. It was a little bit scary. And so this evangelist who was newly into preaching, he wanted to go and he wanted to win this person to the Lord. So he went and he spent some time with him, talking to him, explaining scripture. And over time, that man who everybody thought was scary gave his heart to Christ. And he said, he told him, "You know what? I served the devil. I was a bad man." He said, "I want to serve God with everything I've got." And so he did. And this man who they thought was scary began traveling with the preacher. And on one trip, they were traveling in the winter to go to a meeting, and there was a blizzard. And as they drove, the blizzard got worse. The snow began to pile up, and they took a wrong turn down a road that they thought they were supposed to go, but it was the wrong road. And they ended up stuck in a snowdrift. They had a vehicle. It was a truck, and I believe it was a 4x4 truck, but they were stuck in a snowdrift. They were not moving anywhere. And they were sitting there. The preacher was driving. This other fellow was with them. And it just so happened that this fellow loved the power of God and the stories of Samson, and he was always talking about the power of God. And so he looked at the preacher and he said, "Well, God can give us power, right? So we can get out of here." And he opened the door of the truck. He got out of the truck and he went around to the front of it, and it's blowing snow and blizzarding. The truck is not in drive or reverse. They've kind of given up on ever getting out. And this guy reaches down, he grabs the front bumper. He bends down and then he looks through the window at the preacher and he shouts, power of God. And he picks the front of the truck up and just starts walking it right out of the snowdrift. And they were unstuck. But the power of God, the strength of God, supernatural strength, was obviously given to this man just because he believed it was possible. And so we see that God does give strength, but not only physical strength. And I want you to hear this today. Not only physical strength. God can give us emotional strength, mental strength, and spiritual strength when we need it. And there are many times when we do need it. So where does the strength come from, and how do we get it? I've been letting you know already, this strength obviously comes from the Lord. It comes from trusting and having faith in Him. Psalms chapter 18 and 1 to 2 says this, I love you, Lord, you are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And also in 2 Timothy 4:14 and 18, we read these words. It's Paul talking, and he says this, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against him. The Lord is faithful, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So the Lord stood with Paul and strengthened him. He didn't need physical strength at that moment. He needed mental strength, he needed emotional strength. Everyone was against him. And God answered his prayer and gave him strength. We see that God is our strength. The Lord himself, Jesus Christ, he is our strength. And we can receive this strength. So we understand, we believe, we know he's our strength. But yet we need to receive it for ourselves. And we receive this strength by waiting on the Lord. Psalm 27, 12 to 14 says this, Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I'm going to read Isaiah 40 as well, and then I'll explain it a little bit. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. It says, Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So waiting on the Lord is how one of the ways that we can receive that strength. And of course, waiting on the Lord, you're saying, what does that mean? Obviously, prayer, spending time with Him. But let me just give it to you straight from Psalm 105, where we see exactly how you can wait on the Lord. And Psalm 105 says this, Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people. Giving thanks to Him is waiting on Him. Verse 2, sing unto him, sing songs to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Singing to him is waiting on him. You need strength? Start thanking him. You need strength? Begin singing to him. Number 3, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. So take time to glory in his name and to rejoice in his name. And verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. I want to take a moment there to look at verse 4. It says, seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face evermore. What does it mean to seek his face? It simply means this. If you are seeking someone's face, you are going into their presence to be with them face to face. So seeking someone's face means you're coming up to them and you're saying, I'm right here in your presence. If you need strength, get into the presence of God. Get into his presence. His presence will bring you strength like nothing else. And you get into his presence exactly how Psalm 105 just said. Thanking him, singing to him, being joyful in him, praying to him. Get in his presence. I need to say something about waiting on the Lord, and it's this. Waiting on the Lord is not a one-time event. Waiting on the Lord is not, I will do one thing and it's all over. Waiting on the Lord is something that you do again and again. You need to understand this. Sometimes people, well, I prayed once and nothing happened, so God doesn't want to. Or, well, I thanked him once and I still don't have strength. It's more than one time. We see that in the natural realm with exercise. Who's ever tried to exercise before? Have you? You realize you don't change with only one time exercising. It takes more than one. I remember as a teenager, I decided I was going to get strong. I wanted to have muscles. And I had an older brother, and so he was like, well, if you do sit-ups or you do some arm curls. And one of my chores on the farm was to haul water to the elk. And we had a place where you could get water and put it into 5-gallon buckets. And then the elk pen was about, I'm going to say 200 feet roughly away. 200 yards possibly. And I would take the water in the buckets and haul it over there. And I thought, I know what I'm going to do. While I'm hauling these 5-gallon buckets full of water, I'll arm curl them while I walk. That'll work. Well, so that's what I did. I arm curled them all the way over there. And do you know what happened after the first day of doing that? Nothing. I was just in pain and it hurt. But I did it every day because that was my chore every day. And after time, I suddenly had muscles. Yes, muscles. And I thought, well, this is good. I know what I'll do. I'll take 2 buckets in each arm, put the handles together, put water in them, and I'll try arm curling 2 buckets on each side as I walk. And I did that. And you know what happened the first time I did that? Nothing. It just hurt. But over time, it caused muscles to be built. Strength came. In the same way, strength comes to us when we wait on the Lord. It is a process. You continue it. It is not a one-time event. So I want to encourage you in that. You can receive strength by waiting on the Lord. We can also receive strength by declaring and speaking it. Look in Scripture. Daniel 10:19 says this. This is Daniel. He had been in prayer. And he had been asking God, and an angel comes, and Daniel, with fear, basically faints. He passes out. And it says, then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. I want you to get this, and I want you to really get it in your spirit. God wants you to speak what needs to come. Joel chapter 3, verse 10 says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Did you hear that? Let the weak say, I am strong. You know, we can go around saying, oh, I'm so tired, I'm so weak, I'm so sick. You can do that if you like, but eventually you will be so tired, so weak, so sick all the time. But instead, live healthy, go to bed, eat well, and declare, I am strong. I am well. We can say, I just always have headaches all the time. Or we can declare, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm well. Isaiah 35, 3 to 6. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Do not fear. Be strong. Do not fear. So we are told to speak strength and to declare it. I want to encourage you today, be careful what you're speaking, and on purpose, speak and say, be strong. If you need to go stand to look in the mirror and say, be strong. I can tell you this, changing the way you speak over yourself and the way you speak over your family members and those around you will bring transformation. We also receive strength by strengthening one another. This is important because as a Christian, we are part of a body. You don't do it alone. You do it as a team. You do it as a group, a family. Luke 22, 31 to 32 says this. It's Jesus talking. And he's talking to Simon Peter, and he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Peter was eventually in charge of the beginning new church at that time, and he was told to strengthen them. You and I are commanded to strengthen one another, not tear one another down. If your words are tearing each other down, you're in trouble, because we are called to build one another up, to strengthen one another. If you're visiting with someone and they begin tearing a brother or sister down, stop it and build them up instead. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this, discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expression of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. We are called and told to get together often and do it even more in the last day. How about this verse, Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Paul talking, and he is saying very clearly, I am praying for you. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We need to pray for one another. So God wants us to be transformed from weak to strong. We know that strength comes from the Lord. We know that we can receive this strength by waiting on Him, thanking Him, praying, singing, rejoicing in Him, getting in His presence. We know that we can receive strength by declaring what His Word says about us, by speaking strength, speaking those things that are not as though they already were. And finally, we know that we receive strength by strengthening one another. We were not called to walk this Christian walk alone. We were called to do it together as a family. Never isolate yourself away, but on purpose, connect. Let your prayer requests be known. Come together and build one another up. We were called to do it together. And today, we want to pray for one another. And I want to encourage you to speak this over yourself, to speak this over the person beside you. And take and put your hand on them. And I want you to repeat these words after me. This is how we're closing with this. Put your hand on somebody beside you. And I want you to do like we read in Daniel, where they said, be strong. Yes, be strong. So we're going to do that right now. We're going to put our hand on somebody beside us. And I want you to say this on the count of three. We're going to say, be strong. Yes, be strong. And you're saying it for somebody else right now, okay? And they're saying it for you. So on the count of three, one, two, three. Be strong. Yes, be strong.